Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today, we explore something that is part and parcel to Lutheran theology. Now, you don't have to take notes, but I want to talk about something, and it's not something that we often talk about, but demonstrated in our readings today is what Luther would call a theology of glory or a theology of the cross. So on one hand, and I'm going to give you sort of the Cliff Notes version. On one hand, the theology of glory seeks to find the meaning behind everything and never really sees suffering and pain for what it is, but looks to say, all right, what am I to learn from this? How am I to grow from this? What is the meaning behind this? And what blessing shall I receive from this? Because it can't just be suffering and pain, because that just doesn't make sense. So the theology of glory is what our prophet Jeremiah wrote about when he says that the theology of glory, he doesn't say that, but that's what we read. That the people who listen to the words of the prophet, who fill you with vain hopes, they speak visions of their own mind, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. No disaster shall come upon you. And later he says, I have dreamed, and all will be good, and everything will be great, and you can live your best life now, and all of these wonderful things that there's nothing, and if you're suffering, well, then that's your problem, because God wants you to be happy and wealthy and healthy and all of these things. That's the theology of glory. That looks to say to you as those who follow Christ, well, God has blessed you, so everything ought to be good and happy. Life should be easy. And if it's not, the theology of glory says it's your fault. You don't have enough faith. You're not praying right. You're not reading your scriptures as much as you should. You're not giving as much as you should. That's what the theology of glory says to us. That God is here to make you happy. The theology of the cross, on the other hand, says that life on earth is hard. There's nothing easy about being a human being living in this world. There is suffering, there is pain. God is not here to make you happy. God is not here to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, and all of the good things. God is not here to say, there, it's all going to be okay. That's not God's job. The theology of the cross looks at suffering and says, yeah, that's what it is. You don't make it out of this earth and not have endured some suffering. And that looks different. And everybody's suffering, and that's the thing. Everybody's is different. Not all people suffer the same. Some suffer physically. Some suffer mentally. Some suffer psychologically. Some suffer financially. There's suffering in the world. It's there, plain as day. And if you're not seeing it, then you're burying your head in the sand, is what the theology of the cross says. Pay attention to the world around you and see that there is pain and suffering in this world. I would not ever say that there is not pain and suffering in the world. That there is not pain and suffering in just about every single person I've ever met. Now, you may be an optimist and may look on the bright side of things, and that's great. That doesn't mean you don't have pain. That doesn't mean you don't suffer. Jesus, in our reading today, I don't know how more plainly he could put it. that he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. He's talking about the cross and how great is my distress until it is accomplished, until I have suffered so greatly. He is so distressed. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is distressed. Do you hear that? Jesus didn't walk around going, oh, all is good. Everything is great. You are hungry, poof, here's bread. He doesn't just walk around as if in some sort of cloud of peace and happiness. He is distressed greatly. When he's in the garden and in Gethsemane before he's crucified, he suffers greatly. Now, if Jesus, God's only Son, suffers, who's to say that any of us would escape that? How could we? If Jesus doesn't, nobody can. And so, yes, we see the suffering in the world. He even goes on to say, I did not come to bring peace on earth. In other words, I did not come to say, everything's great. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all good. He did not come to say that everything we choose to do is wonderful in God's eyes. You're all just great, wonderful people. It's all going to be okay. That is not what Jesus says. He says, I came, there isn't going to be peace on earth. In fact, there's going to be division all the way down to the family is going to be divided about who receives me, he says. There's going to be trouble in families over Jesus. There's going to be those who don't believe. There are going to be those who do, and there's going to be struggle, and there's going to be strife, and there's going to be suffering. We know that. Many in our own families, we've gone through that or are going through that. It's tough. The theology of the cross says life is hard. We endure a lot. But the gospel has some words for those who suffer. If we look at our Hebrews reading today. Actually, look at your Hebrews reading today. Because sometimes it helps to see the words. And it's actually chapter 12 at the very end of our reading of the book of Hebrews here. Starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, that in and of itself is not gospel, but what I want you to hear out of this, as theologians of the cross who recognize suffering, now, he just went through, the writer of Hebrews just went through a laundry list of the suffering of God's saints. I mean, we don't want to have to read the whole thing over again, but we have torture, we have stoning, mocking, flogging, killed with the sword. We can go through the whole list. It's awful what the people of God endure. That there is suffering among God's people, and yet, they receive a promise. I want you to hear this, not because of their suffering. They're not made the people of God because they suffer. They suffer because they are people of God. But the suffering doesn't make them better people of God. We are all in that boat. He says, we are surrounded by all of those who for the last millennia, all of them, have suffered greatly. Some way more than we have suffered, in some sense. But all have suffered. And he says, so we have all of these people who have been through it. This is, you're not the first person to have suffering. Many have been through it. So he says, because of that, because we have all of these examples, because we have all of this past that holds us up, he says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, all of that suffering that holds on to us. He says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Notice, he doesn't say, let us run the race with optimistic skipping. Endurance. Those of you who have run before, whether for fun or exercise, know the endurance it takes to run distances. So he says, we endure the race. But we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. There's the gospel, because Jesus went through it. He went through the suffering. He went through the mocking. He went through the torture. He went through the flogging. He went through the despising. He went through the shame. He went through it all on the cross. Because he knows the joy of his people. He did this all so that we could look to that cross and say, that's my Jesus. My Jesus is not the one who says life is going to be grand, and if you pray right, and if you believe right, and if you do right, and all of this wonderful stuff is going to happen to you. That's not my Jesus. Mine is the one with the holes in his hands, with the holes in his side, with the holes in his feet. That's my Jesus, who looks on my suffering and doesn't tell me it's going to be all right. He tells me, I'm here with you. I'm in the midst of your suffering with you. Now, I may deliver you miraculously, I may not. It doesn't matter. What matters is that I am with you. The suffering that you go through, I go through. The things that you face, I face. And not only have I faced them, but I've overcome them. So in me, in Jesus, we will overcome the suffering. We will overcome the shame, the despising. Now, we may die in the midst of it, but those who die in Christ overcome. That's the blessing. Then finally, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And it's not that we don't grow weary. Suffering takes its toll. But through the Holy Spirit, we keep our eyes fixed on the cross. We look to Jesus. We know that he's here with us. We know that he's right beside us in the midst of our suffering and struggle. We don't deny that it exists. We look to Jesus. We know he's there. In his name, amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard and keep our hearts always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to rise as